that it's worse, it's better than the young people. Okay. So we, yesterday, wanted to say that our Mishnah, which says that if a guy marries his wife and brother-in-law, his wife left town, and his wife, and they came and they told him his wife died, and then he married her sister, and her sister, and then she comes back, he can go back to the first wife. It's not like a Mekivo who said that Leah would need a get, the wife's sister, and if the wife's sister needs a get, he can't go back to his wife because it's Achayis Gerusha site. The Gemara answered that Rabbi Akiva never said it if the marriage with Leah, with Rachel, had been consummated. Again, Reuven was married to Rachel, and then Rachel left town, and they told Reuven that Rachel died, he married Leah, her sister. Rachel came back. So the Mishnah said that Reuven can go back to his wife, Rachel. But Rabbi Akiva had said that Leah needs a get. Once Leah gets a get rabbinically, because it was not a biblical marriage, once Leah gets a get rabbinically, then Rachel was Achayis Gerusha site. So therefore, our Mishnah can't be like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara answered, Rabbi Akiva never said it if Rachel had consummated the marriage with Rachel. He said everybody knows that Rachel is not his wife, that Leah can't be his wife. Because even if he divorced Rachel, she's alive. You can't marry a wife's sister as long as the wife is alive, whether married or not married. So therefore, if he had consummated the marriage with Rachel, Rabbi Akiva would agree. The first one. When Reuven married Rachel, to what stage was that marriage? If that marriage was Nisuin, then everybody knows that the marriage to Leah couldn't have worked because Rachel was alive. And as long as Rachel was alive, there's no way Reuven can legally marry Leah.
There'd be no get,
and Rachel could come back. But if Reuven only made Kedushin in Rachel, so then people could say that really, Reuven never married Rachel because it was a condition in the Kedushin. And therefore, he married Leah. So even though Rachel was standing here, people won't be sure who was Reuven's wife, Rachel or Leah. Because if there was a Tanai in the Kedushin that wasn't kept, Rachel is not Reuven's wife. But he can marry Leah. So we require, Rabbi Akiva is requiring a get in that case. And therefore, he can't go back to Rachel. So therefore, our Mishnah, which talks about Reuven was married to Rachel, Rabbi Akiva would agree to that if Rachel comes back, you go back to Rachel. However, the case where Rabbi Akiva said you need a get, we're talking about when there's only kedushin to Rachel. Yes, because not necessarily would they impose that knas. Because again, remember, this is all based on a knas.
Even kedushin, they would say she would need a get.
Right, they would say she doesn't need a get. Correct. In fact, Rabbanan hold by every Aishas Ish, when there's only Kedushin, we let the woman go back. Because she didn't do any Yisr. Right? So, Rabbanan would argue, because we don't punish a lady because of her sister. But she didn't do anything wrong. But Rabbi Akiva says, in that case, we have to do it because people aren't sure who she's married to. We didn't do the Rashi on that Gemara. So, we're going to say, it starts with the Rashi, the Amri Inchi. Kichazu la'aris kama. When they say, this is talking in the case of Eishes Ach. So Akiva said the same thing by a brother's wife, right? Reuven was married to somebody in left town, right? And people said he died, and Shimon married Reuven's wife. So when Reuven comes back, the Akiva says, Shimon has to give a get. And the question is, why? Everybody knows there's no way Shimon could have been legally married to her. She's Reuven's wife. So the answer is the same thing. Depends what Reuven had done to his wife. If it was Nisuin, you're right. There's no legal way that his brother could be married to his wife. Masha'enkein, if it was Kedushin, it's possible Reuven had made Kedushin to this lady with a condition. The condition was never met. This is Rabbi Akiva. We're talking Rabbi Akiva. So the army in Chikichazu la'aris kama, that when they see the aris, the first one, army they say, Midinas va'achla, since Shimon married the same lady, no havalei kama b'kedusha. Reuven must have had condition, v'loy niskayim, and it wasn't kept. V'hob basra shaper nasim. And the last guy, married good. Shimon's married to her. The Mabik Lo B'Lo Get, and if you're going to tell Shimon that she leaves without a get, and Teish is his nearest Yoy to B'Lo Get. V'chein Achais Isha. Avu Nisuin, Kimas Nisin, but the case of Nisuin like our Mishnah, the Ishtar Rishayin Hais and Nisuin Lai, his first wife was married, V'yikil L'mein B'tzino Havalei B'Nisuin, would people say there was a condition? Hakula Ama Yadi Deinah the Mesa B'Lo Sevil Lesnus, everybody's aware that people don't live with women on condition, because then it ends up that condition's not met. They lived in sin. Nobody wants to do that. So therefore, our Mishnah could go like Rabbi Akiva, because our Mishnah is talking about Nisuin, and Rabbi Akiva was talking about condition. Something in my right. Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav God. We are on Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14 lines at the bottom. Go across from Tosfos Rabbi Akiva and go about a line and a half down. Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, E Rabbi Akiva, if our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, right? So listening Nami Achel Chamaisai, then we could have a case, same situation, with a mother-in-law. Let me explain. We will see in a moment that there's a machloikas amoroim in how to translate a machloikas tanoim. One of the amoroim says that there's a machloikas tanoim whether a mother-in-law is permitted to get married to her son-in-law after his wife dies. Let me set it up. Reuven married Rachel. Rachel died. Is Reuven prohibited from marrying Rachel's mother? Is it current? Is it punishable? We always assume that mother-in-law remains usher forever. According to one of the Meroim, it is a matter of machlokes that Rabbi Akiva holds, according to one Amira, that a mother-in-law, after the person's wife died, a mother-in-law is not prohibited by Karis. The marriage is a valid marriage. It's a machlokes Yishayim, whether according to that Mani Amar, Rabbi Akiva would say it's permitted, or he would say it's prohibited but not punishable. Right. That's a machlokes. Therefore, I'm picking my words very carefully. So if you learn that way, then the Mishnah could have had a case of mother-in-law. Reuven's wife went out of town. Reuven's wife went out of town. They came and told him that his wife died. He married her mother, and she comes back. He's allowed to go back to his wife, right? He's allowed to go back to his wife. It was Nisuin, because there's no way to be married to your mother-in-law if you're married to your wife. Mishlai, if you tell me mother-in-law is prohibited forever, so nobody, there's no way to marry your mother-in-law whether your wife is alive or dead. So therefore, there would be no case in the Mishnah. But according to Mekiva, then according to one Amir of Mekiva, he holds that if a person's wife dies, the marriage to a mother-in-law is valid. The same case could have been said in the Mishnah with a mother-in-law. The same case could have been said that Reuven married a woman. They came and they told him his wife died. He married her mother. And in walks Mrs. Wife. So now, if it's Kedushin, they'll think that it was denied the Kedushin and he married his mother-in-law legally. If it was Nisuin, they'll know there's no way this could happen, and she can go back to his husband. Why didn't the Mishnah give us the case of Chamaisai? Again, if you don't hold like the Mekiva, then Chamaisai would never be a valid marriage. There's no way to think that Chamaisai would ever be a valid marriage, because even if the wife died, he has no right to marry his mother-in-law. So we wouldn't have a case of Reuven's wife died and he married her mother. It's not. He can't do that.
Why?
Because it's usher, it's karet. Again, but according to Mekiva, it's mutter. It's not karet. So the Mishnah could have given us a case. No, therefore the Mishnah is not like a Mekiva. Zav to Gemara. I'm a lawyer of Ashley of Khan. Here in Mekiva, listening to Ami Chamaisai. The Mishnah could have given you a case of mother-in-law. Why? Because we know Rabbi Akiva, according to one opinion in Rabbi Akiva, says that a mother-in-law, after the wife dies, is not punishable by burning, meaning it's not karis or sreifa. Where is this Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. Now we have a Brisa that has a Machloikas, and then there's a Machloikas Amaroyim, how to translate the Machloikas. The Pasuk says, a person who lives with his mother-in-law, the Eish Yisrahu Isai the Eten, burn him, he's Chayim straight from, he does it amazing, and Eten. Now, what does Eten mean? And them. Who is the them? Who is the them? There's only one lady. His wife didn't do anything wrong. A guy married a woman, and then he lives with her mother-in-law, with his mother-in-law. He's Chayim Strefa, and they are Chayim Strefa. Who is the them? Where is the them? There's only one woman that committed a crime here. The mother-in-law. The wife didn't do anything. Why are we going to burn their wife, his wife? Zok, Rabbi Shmuel, I say, that's achat mehen. It means, Esen means one of the women. It doesn't mean both. In Hebrew, Esen means them. In Greek, Esen means one. And therefore, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, the translation of Esen here is not them, it's her. Rashi, that's achas mehen. I'm sorry, I Rabbi Akiva, imas nisa Rabbi Akiva is a hapkas book when I'm in Rabbi Akiva, because you tried to make it like Rabbi Akiva. Listen, chanoisa. Amr loy mesa ishtacha, they told him his wife died. But not the imani married her mother. It's Rabbi Akiva, chanoisa lachem is yisharya. For a minute, that's achas mehen. She came a loshi yavani karen la'achas heina. The word for one in Greek is heina. Amr rachmana, ayachroina shenasa b'isra tisare. The second one, which means if it's the person's mother-in-law, or if a person marries his wife's daughter, which is the same thing, is Mitzrayfa. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. That's what Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Akiva Aymar, Aysa Neshteya. Rabbi Akiva says, you burn both of them. Now, why in the world you burn both of them? Only one woman did an Isser. So what does Esen mean? So there's a Machloikas Amaroyim. How to understand the words of Rabbi Akiva? Again, Rabbi Akiva says, man lives with his mother-in-law, he gets Reifa, and they get Reifa. Who is they? Rabbi Shmuel says it doesn't mean they, it means she. But Rabbi Akiva says it means that. Who is the that? Sabaya learns, that Rabbi Akiva learns, that it means the guy lives with his mother-in-law and grandmother-in-law. So therefore, they get Reifa. The Pasuk is referencing that if a person, by writing them, the Pasuk is referencing a guy who lives with his mother-in-law and with his mother-in-law's mother, his wife's grandmother. So they both get Shreifa. He gets Shreifa, and they get Shreifa. So by writing they, the Torah is referencing that there's multiple generations here, his mother-in-law and his grandmother-in-law. That's what Rabbi learned. That the it's not a machlokes in halacha, but that the Pasuk is referencing a guy who lives with two women instead. His mother-in-law and her mother. So that's why the Torah said, they get Shreifa. So Bishma and Malabaya. No, it's a Deraisa. Grandmother was a Deraisa. Ain't Ima is a Deraisa.
Ain't
Ima, the mother's mother.
Mother.
Her mother's mother.
Her mother's mother.
It's a Deraisa, it's a Pasuk. So Bishma and Malabaya, the Ramashmu.
His mother's mother.
His mother's mother is Yeshia.
Oh, that's great.
Her mother's mother is an Erva. So Bishlai Melo Rebbe Shema Abaye Zamer Mashma Zdarshan Ike Benayu. According to Abaye, who says, there's no actual Machloikas in Halacha. Everybody agrees a mother-in-law is prohibited, even after a wife dies. And all the Pasuk is saying, whether you're including a grandmother-in-law, Ike Benayu Rebbe Shema Sabra Chotiksiv. Rebbe Shema holds the Torah is reverencing one woman. Rabbi Akiva is not retired, he said. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, the Torah is alluding to the guy who lived with his mother-in-law and grandmother-in-law. So shop here. So then Rabbi Akiva never said anything about Chamaisa La'achamisa. So according to Abaya, we have no problem. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Oysa Veshteya. To Dr. Chamaisa Hassam is at Hendra, my Benayu. The Gemara there says, what's the difference? Avadai Ishta Gemura, but Amar Rabbi Akiva the Mesrefa. His wife doesn't get Srefa. What did this poor lady do? She didn't do anything. The guy lives with his mother, her mother, so she's guilty? How about Hetzer? This is like, she married legally. The Amr Abaya, Mashmoz Darshan Ikibanayu. It's how to read the pasuk. Rebbe Kiva is on the Tartik Kiva. Rebbe Kiva holds the Torah is alluding to two Arabs. Chamaisai, the Aim Chamaisai, nothing micro than the Strangle. The mother in law and the grandmother in law. The pasuk doesn't mean he marries a woman and her mother. He marries a woman's mother and her mother. He does two sins. All three of them get burnt. But the small server, the pasuk is referencing one case. Only mother in law. The Isha here is his matter. The Isha here is his wife. So how does Mishmol know that a grandmother-in-law gets Reva? He learned it out from Xavier Shavan. Yes, sir. Yes. Okay, so there's a big machloikas in approach to that. Because this happens multiple times through Shas. And the Gemara references a different language to translate a word in the Torah. Case in point, Taitatwais means four parshias. According to one Magi Amar, the word tat means two in one language, and pat means two in another language. So therefore, Taitatwais is 2 + 2 = 4 parshias. Now, it's not in Hebrew. Not Lashon Kodesh. It is different languages. So there's a machlokes, two schools of thought. The Gemara does this multiple times throughout Shas.
What's
the matter? The meaning of Taitapais, what does Taitapais mean?
Well, whatever it means, if that's not even word of it in the Torah.
That's exactly the machlokes. Let me try to explain. Again, the Gemara says, according to one opinion, Taitapais means four parshias. Why? Because tat in a certain language, not Lashon Kodesh, means two, and pas in a different language means two. So the Torah put together Taitapais to tell me four. So there's a big machloikas in two schools of thought. One school says it's really a Lashon Kodesh word, and the Lashon Kodesh word has the meaning of two and two. But we don't use it in Lashon Kodesh. So the Gemara says it means two and two because look at other languages that took some of our words, and that's what it means. So we are allowed to say that that's what the word Taitapais means. So it's based on the Torah using Lashon Kodesh, but sometimes we don't know the meaning of a Lashon Kodesh word. By looking at other languages, it came from Lashon Kodesh. The Shulchan Kodesh learned every language has its roots in Lashon Kodesh. And therefore, he says that we sometimes don't know meanings, so we look to other languages to find out a meaning. The word heina, hein, meaning one, is a Greek translation. The Torah, but it, what we're saying is, it's really Lashon Kodesh that sometimes it means one. But we wouldn't know it from Lashon Kodesh because we don't have that Masaira. But by looking to Greek, we see that that's the meaning of a word, and that's what the Torah meant in Lashon Kodesh. That is one school of thought. And there's another school of thought that says that the Torah will use other languages at times. And therefore, no, it's a Greek word, and it's not a Lashon Kodesh word, but the Torah will use a Greek word at times. It did, obviously it did. Greek existed. It was one of the 70 original languages. There are languages that you're right. No, Harvey's saying that some languages are invented later on, like English. You're right. English didn't exist then.
Yiddish
for sure didn't exist then.
Slang.
Okay. But there are 70 original languages, and Greek is one of them. Let me step back. The Torah lists many nations in Parshas Noach. One of them is Greek. So Greek existed. He was one of Yavin's descendants. It was a big country or a small country or a little state. It was one of the 70 nations that had their own language. So Greek existed. You're right. The fact that the Torah used an English word would be difficult. That it used a Greek word or a Kasri word, or an African word, or whatever the language is the Gemara refers to. Yes.
Rashi uses the word shmir to tell us the word snow. And it talks about a real word.
Well, Rashi Kira. Says laz. He uses foreign
language. Not laz. It's translating the word in the Torah. An actual word in Parshas Bereishis. And he says the word can be translated from German.
Could be.
What was he translating?
Or the Kham
is a German word that he
used. Okay, let's go back. What is
it referred to?
No, Kham is a Nayak, he says it's a Bresh. Rabba Amar, Rabba, back to the Gemara. Elul Rabba, Damar Chamaisa Lachamite Kibanai. Rabba says, no, there's a major machloikis here of Ishmael and Rabbi Kiva. Rabba says that the argument here is that according to Rabbi Shmuel, you always burn, even if only one is alive. Meaning, Reuben married a woman, and she died, and he lives with her mother-in-law. The wife is not alive. Even if only one of the two parties is alive, she gets Reifa. Meaning, there are two women involved. One that he married legally, and one that he lived with illegally. And the Torah is saying, burn him, and even if she's the only one alive. Not burn them. Burn one, even if one is alive. And Rabbah says, no, we don't burn the mother-in-law unless the wife is also alive.
Why?
That's what Rabbah says, Eshen is teaching me. Both have to be in the world for us to burn the mother-in-law. So according to Rabbah, the Mechiva is saying a very big Kiddush. He's saying that once a woman dies, a person can marry her mother. And therefore, since he can marry her mother, why didn't the Mishnah give us this case? The woman went out of town, he thought he heard his wife died, he married her mother, and she came back. Now, according to Abaye, that would not be a question, because nobody says you can marry a mother-in-law, ever. But according to Rabbah, Rabbi Kiva is saying that once a woman dies, her mother-in-law is legal. If she's legal, so then why in the world can't the Mishnah say that case? That's the Gemara's question. Let's read the Rashi, last narrow line. Rabbah Amar, Kamaisu Lacha Mises Ishtei Kibinayu. But Rabbi Shmuel b'Sreifa, Rabbi Kamar. This is what it means. One of them. Oysa v'Achas Mehem. I feel that ain't staying kayamas. Even if the two ladies are here, his wife legal, his mother-in-law illegal. Even if only one of them is alive, meaning his wife died. Don't you make the ishta v'nasasima? Tisharet, she gets burnt. Rabbi Kiva says, Oysa v'Shteihen. This man should stay in kayamas. They both have to live here. They both have to be alive. Ishta v'chan b'Sreifa. Yisru Isai. He gets burned if they're both alive. The Torah is not talking about burning them. The Torah is saying they both have to be here. The Hishrakat of Ishil Ishlah and Shishimataira. The woman gets burnt because she's no different than him. Our Mishnah that doesn't have a case of mother in law. Because you can't have a case of mother in law. She's always prohibited. But Rabbi Kiva Nafkula Em Chamoisi Maikra, that we're doing got grandmother-in-law. Fine. Rabbi Shmuel Loi Nafkula Em Ha'achim Lo'ayi Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva B'Chamoisi Lachem Yitzhak Klau. Queen Tabaya, they're not talking about a heter of a Chamoisi after Misha Shaper. El Rava, listening. Why, according to Rabbi Kiva, didn't I miss to say that Lachem Chamoisi if Rav is Rav? And for the Gemara. Amar Leis, Rav Kahana answered Rav Ashi. Then he, the Misha Kram, he straight from Yisurim and Mitzakra. The title, Rabbah never said it's legal. We misunderstood Rabbah. Rabbah didn't say a person's allowed to marry his mother-in-law after his wife dies. Rabbah just says it's not punishable by Sreifa. But it's prohibited. Why would the Mishnah give you a case where it's prohibited? The Mishnah wanted to give you a case where it was legal. Guy's wife left. He was told she's dead. He married her sister, which is totally legal. Whereas the case of mother-in-law, even according to Rabbah, that there wouldn't be Sreifa once the wife is dead, but it's not legal, so why would the Mishnah want to give us a case of illegality? Rashi. El Mishaninan. He demeet the Kroh l'chamaisa l'achamisa m'Sreifa, but still, it's prohibited. That's why the Mishnah didn't say a case of chamaisa. Zok the Gemara Baiter. New question. But the Aser m'Shriva d'achaisa. The Gemara wants to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Reuben was married to Rachel. Rachel left town. They told Reuben that Rachel died. He married her sister. She comes back. He can go back to Rachel. Why? Why don't we say the fact that Reuben lived with her sister should ban her from being Reuben's wife? Why is this halacha true? Just like a woman who leaves town, sorry, a man that leaves town, and we told him that it, told her that his husband died, right? And she goes and marries somebody else, and he comes back. We don't let her go back to her husband, right? According to the Rabbanan, even by two Adam. So why by a sister-in-law don't we say that his wife can come back to him? Meaning, why don't we do the same thing to Rachel as we did to the woman whose husband comes back, that we don't let her go back to her husband? We shouldn't let Rachel go back to her husband either. I don't want to get involved in one Adam, so tell me an Adam's not believed for that. Remember, we went through that earlier.
What should
become
wrong about when she
didn't bring the money? That's the Gemara. Why doesn't she become banned by the fact that he lived with her sister? Not comparable. Why? And let me speak this out outside. If a man is married, Reuben's married to Rachel. Rachel's right here. She didn't go anywhere. And he goes and he's mezana with her sister. Amazing! Rachel does not become usher. A woman doesn't become usher by somebody else committing a crime. By somebody else doing something illegal. So therefore, we're going to punish Rachel because her husband lived with her sister? She didn't do anything. By a woman that goes to Medina, the husband went to Medina Tayyam, this is illegal. She's not supposed to get married to another man. She made a mistake. Based on witnesses, based on one witness, we're not going to get involved. She made a mistake. But the bottom line is, she did something that's illegal. She did a b'shagin, but she did an illegality. The raya is, had she done this b'mezid, she would be chayav misa. Rachel would never be chayav misa. Her husband lives with her sister. Nothing to do with her. Zok to Gemara, Ish tried to be made in Asirim and the Raisa. A woman, if she's Mizana, would be banned to her husband biblically if she did a be made in. So B'shaygin Gazubar Rabbana. So the Rabbana said, even though this happened B'shaygin, we wanted to do a thorough investigation, so we're going to punish her. Achois Ish tried to be made in Asirim and the Raisa. There's no reason that a woman becomes Asir because her husband messes around with her sister. B'shaygin Gazubar Rabbana. Rashi. Left Rashi, three lines in the bottom. But Tayyasir, Ishtai Rishayna Allah B'Shivasa Nachaisa. Why isn't his first wife Usir by the fact that he lived with her sister? Midi Da'aba Isha Shalom Ba'al Dinsayam, the Mitzvah Levi, the B'Shivas Achim. Da'aba B'Shisha Gengis. She becomes Usir even though she's a Shaykh. Why Mike Tani Mesnisa Mutaris Lachzalai? Why is the Mishnah allowing Rachel to go back? The Mishanina Loidah. Isha Shahal, like a woman that went to the Mazid Mitzvah the Raisa. If she was Mazana the Mazid, she would be biblically prohibited to her husband to sin. We learned it's Fasa, the Mashma Isura. She wasn't grabbed, meaning she didn't answer. She's Asir. There's one aid, we ban her. Achais Isha, the Avilu the Mazid, Baal Achais, like Mitzvah Ishtaluye, the Raisa. As we're going to learn it out from a Pasik, that if a woman sister is Mazana with her husband, it doesn't affect her biblically, so why should the Rabbanan get involved? The Hukum Mashiach and the Rabbanan didn't get involved. You look perturbed.
There was a teacher that
she was with her husband even without Adam, but we won't know about her if there's no Adam.
What age
she
asked
her
to have?
No, because Adam was not Neman unless there was Tina and Steer enough. But again, she becomes usher. Whether we know about it or not is a different story. Let me explain. This is a very, I don't want to get involved in this, it's very controversial. A woman had an affair. A married woman had an affair. Her husband finds out about it. No witnesses saw the affair. But we know there was an affair. Without witnesses. The guy said it. She said it.
She did it.
She admitted it. Right?
Stone her.
I'll let you stone her. But meanwhile, is she offered to her husband? But we know the that's fine. He doesn't have to believe it happened. How about she, who knows that she was Madonna? It's a very major controversy in that kingdom, in the last 200 years, because this unfortunately happens. So here's the woman. Let's say she knows she was Madonna and her husband doesn't know. But she knows. Did she live with her husband? She knows that she's prohibited her husband. She knows she had an affair. Her husband doesn't know about it. This is why you need the big guns to get involved. I was once visiting a city for Shabbos, and I ate by the rug of the city's house Friday night, and he had just dealt with that child on Friday.
What did he pop to?
He didn't pop. He called one of the big price team of the world. He wasn't going to pass to the Shiloh. He wasn't in that league. Sock was a very interesting sock. I'll say it over, but I'm not passing for anybody. I'm just saying it over. Sock was that she can't initiate any relationship, but she's allowed to have relationships with her husband if he wants a relationship. She has to become like Karkaila, meaning she's allowed to have a relationship, but she's not allowed to initiate a relationship since she knows that she's prohibited. But if he doesn't know that she had a relationship and he's still married to her, that was the psak based on the Rebbe Chaim. It's a very controversial. As I said, it needs heavy guns for this kind of psak. But it was very interesting. I ate at his house Friday night. He said, I just had a shiloh today. I don't know whatever happened to that marriage in the long run. I left town at Shabbos, so I can't tell you. But she's usher. Any woman that had an affair is usher to her husband. Whether she knows, whether he knows, it's a fact. She became us in the derisive.
Why did you kind of put the head
for? We don't like to break marriages up. We only find the hetzer when it's mutter. We don't make something up. This is based on a sock of a daily show. It's not. I'm sure if her husband knew about it, he'd probably get rid of her anyway. Maybe not. Then it becomes a bigger child. Because if he knows that she's us, he doesn't have to believe it. Because there's no witnesses. He can always say it didn't happen.
Rumors
do not answer a woman to her husband, though, ever. No. Unless the rumor was there before the marriage. No. Rumors do not answer a woman to her husband. There's certain cases that would answer if she's like a Kayan. Married, there was a rumor she was a Grusha, and he ignored it and married her, that might make a problem. The rumor was there before the marriage. We're not breaking the marriage based on a rumor. The rumor was, you're supposed to believe the rumor not to get married. He violated the law by getting married to her. That's a different story. By the way, we had it recently. A call to Buster Nisuan, a call before Nisuan. We just had people out again. Talk to Gemara Manala in the last year. About 2 hours ago. I'm sorry, is that Tiny Bays? 3 hours ago? Like last week? Maybe the week before. Sorry. I don't know what reason. Right. Dr. Gemara, I'm no longer at zero. How do I know that a woman whose husband's Mazada with her sister, you're saying biblically she's not bad? How do you know that? Where do you know that as a fact from? The Gemara de Tanya says in the Pasuk, Isa, V'shachat ish Isa, a man lives with a woman. The fact that it says Isa is to tell me Isa shchivasa yasrasa, v'ein shchivas achaita yasrasa. Her living with somebody bans her, but her sister's doing something does not ban her. So it's derived from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'shachat ish Isa. When does a woman get banned? The man lives with her. Only if he lived with her. If he lived with anybody else, it doesn't ban his wife. Rashi v'shacham ish aisa. Which, by the way, again, I'm talking biblically now. If Reuven has an affair with Rachel, they never got married. He's allowed to marry Leah. It's not his wife's sister. Rachel was never his wife. So It's the same halacha. There's no, she didn't do anything wrong. Now, a wife's sister, I never did anything wrong, but she's a wife's sister. She's not a wife's sister. That's a different story. That's marriage. Kedushin is marriage. Right. You don't need to sue. Logically speaking, a woman should be banned to her husband if her husband was Mizana with her sister. And now the Gemara is going to give the logic, except the Gemara's logic will be, let me just do it. Ma b'malkim shaba Isra kal. We don't know what Isra the Gemara is referring to. Later on, the Gemara will explain it means Eishes Ish. Now Eishes Ish is not a light Isra. But Eishes Ish has a leniency. It's one of the Isurim that can be removed during the lifetime of both parties. Ruvay marries Rachel, she's an Eishes Ish, but she can become not an Eishes Ish while both her and Ruvay are alive. The one Isur in the Torah that both parties are alive and still the Erva is removed. It's the only Isur that has that, only Erva. No Erva can be removed during the lifetime of both husband and wife. What? Not while they're alive. If the wife is alive, you can't marry her sister.
Husband and sister-in-law.
Yeah. Right. And what makes him mutter?
His original wife's dead.
So then again, both parties, again, so the party who made the erva is not alive anymore. So by Eishes Ish, in a certain way, has that leniency. So the Gemara will spend a half an hour trying to figure out what this Isser Kal is. But Rashi tells me the Matskana, so since Rashi tells it to me, I will say it. So my Isser Kal, my B'malkim Shema Isser Kal, the person who lived with an Eishes Ish, Nesar HaIsser, right? Reuven left town. His wife heard that he died. She married somebody else, right? Reuben comes back. He, who ushered his wife on the second husband by being married to her, becomes ushered to her. The one who created the ban is now banned, right? Reuben's wife was Mizana. She, let's say she's Mizana B'Mezah. Reuben is married to a woman. She's Mizana. Why was she ushered to be Mizana? Because of Reuben. She was married to Reuben. Now, because she's Mizana, the one who banned her from being Mizana becomes Asher to her. The one who created the ban is now a subject of a ban. Nesar Heiser. Again, even with the Mizana, Reuben's wife is Mizana. She no longer can be married to Reuben. Why was she Asher to be Mizana? Because of Reuben. Reuben created the ban by marrying her. And now he becomes a subject of the ban because she did something wrong. So, ma b'malkim shaba Isser Kal. Eishes Ish is a lenient Isser in a certain sense. Nesar HaIsser, the one who created the ban, becomes ban. Malkim shaba Isser Chomer. A wife's sister is never mutter while the wife is alive. And he went with Mizana with his wife's sister, which is not a removable Isser while she's alive. And it didn't Shinetzerizer. Shouldn't the wife who created this ban, right? The wife's sister is also because of the wife. She's the one that banned her sister from marrying her husband. Right? So shouldn't she become banned? Again, let's follow the logic. Reuven bans Rachel. Rachel goes as Mizana. Reuven's an innocent party. He didn't do anything wrong. All he did was marry Rachel.
Nobody died.
No, nobody died. Reuven married Rachel. Rachel was Mizana. Hold a second. Rachel was Mizana. Did Reuven do anything wrong?
No.
But did he lose his wife? Yes. He created the Isser, and he gets ushered from the very Isser that he created. He made her an Eishes Ish, and therefore the consequence of her doing something wrong is that he loses out. Mr. Innocent Reuven, who did nothing wrong. His wife did something wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He loses his wife. Yet, Eishes Ish is used in Isser Kal because it's the only Erva removable by both parties are still alive.
And how does Tanakh? Can they remove it out?
By divorce.
And once they divorce.
Again, once they divorce, we're just identifying Eishes Ish as having a leniency that no other ever has. They're no longer married. She can marry anybody she wants. Right. That even though her husband's still alive, she can marry somebody else. No other erva can marry unless one of the parties dies.
By
her
close, she can't marry her after divorce.
But if Reuben's married to Rachel, he cannot marry Leah.
He's still
awesome. As long as Rachel's alive, he can't marry Leah.
I mean, there's no
issue
with
any heir,
but
ever.
Nita. Nita's not an heir.
Her mother?
Same thing. Yeah. Well, somehow you can't even marry a mother even after she dies. We're talking about the one that you can marry after death, but only after death. Brother's wife is the other one. The brother dies without children, but he has to die.
Yeah, of course.
The only erva that becomes permissible while both parties are alive is Eishes Ish. So let's talk the story. Reuben marries Rachel. Reuben's an innocent man. He did nothing wrong. Rachel goes as Mizana. Who loses out? Reuben. Can't be married to Rachel anymore. He knew anything wrong? No, he did nothing wrong. Now, Reuben married Rachel, and now Reuben's Mizana. Who ushers Leah? Rachel. Rachel creates an Issa for Leah. Now Reuben's Mizana with Leah. Why shouldn't Rachel lose out? Why is she different than Reuben when he married Rachel and Rachel was Mizana? Madach there where the Issa is removable. We still say that she becomes banned to her husband if she's Mizana. So Leah, whose Issa is never removable during the lifetime of her sister, Reuben's Mizana with Leah, why shouldn't it ban Rachel? That's what logic would tell me. But I did know. Let me just finish. Ma the Malkum Shabbat Issa Kal Nesser Oyser. The one who created the ban becomes Usher. Malkum Shabbat Issa Chomer Einadin Shanesser Oyser. Isn't it for sure that Rachel should become banned even though she's innocent? So was Reuben. When it was Eishes Mizana. And the answer is, there was a custom. Isa Shiva Seishrasa, then Shiva Seishrasa. That's why we need a pasuk. Because logically speaking, we would say, Rachel created a ban for Leah. Reuben was Mizana with Leah. It affects Rachel. So the Torah comes and tells me, you don't get affected by something that other people did. Even though Reuben gets affected when his wife is Mizana, that's because his wife got affected. So therefore, it automatically affects him. But in the case when Reuben is Mizana with Leah, Rachel did nothing wrong. There's no reason to ban her. She didn't do anything wrong. The woman didn't do anything wrong. Rashi. Nesser Eiser. I'm sorry. Welcome to my Issa Kau. The Kama Mukula of Eishes Ish. My car is a cow. That's our Isa. That's our Bible, Isa Lachem. Welcome to my Isa Chomer, Grachis Isha. She is the Saras is a Chais to call Yamel. Ashes are all her lifetime. Ain't it didn't she Nasser or Isa? She to us the Isha, Isa, Saras, a Chaisa. Shouldn't his wife become us? The Kachem or Isa. No woman gets banned by other woman's relationship. A woman only gets banned by her own relationship. That's the Zeres HaKasim of the Torah.
What's the
English phrase? Tenek.
And the other
Arabs? Some Ila, some Strafa, some Herek, some Chenek, some Charis.
I thought maybe it's called
Not true, because Achaisish is only Charis. If anything, Achaisish is stricter in life. I'm sorry, Achaisish is stricter in punishment than Achaisish.
Every other case is called.
It's not called, that's the problem. Tyson asked that question on Amid Bay. He asked the other, Tyson asked a different question. How can the Gemara call Eishes Kal vis-a-vis Achais Isha? It's a worse punishment. Tyson asked the other. Right, so that's Tyson's discussion of the Gemara. So Tyson's answer is, we're not dealing with punishment, we're dealing with length of Isser.
That's what it is. Why would the Lord simply say that a man can have two wives, but a woman can't have two wives? That's it. Why? Where's the comparison? Why should he be? Where's the equality here?
Very simple. We're punishing Mr. Innocent Reuven because his wife was Madonna. We're not punishing Mrs. Innocent Rachel because her sister was Madonna.
He can have two.
What's it got to do with two wives? Mr. Innocent Reuven is getting punished because his wife did an indiscretion. Politically correct. Mrs. Innocent Rachel is not punished because her sister did an indiscretion. Her husband too. And the question is, if you're punishing husband because of his wife's indiscretion, and that's an Isser cow, for sure you should punish your sister because of her husband's and sister's indiscretion. Not two wives. It's an error. He didn't marry Leah. He had an affair with Leah. The answer is, there is a custom. Women get punished for doing themselves wrong, and whoever has the consequence has the consequence. Women don't get punished for another woman doing something wrong. That's why you need the Zeres HaKadosh. Don't think of my advice. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Now, come along Rabbi Yehuda, and he's going to say that even though biblically what we just said is 100% true, the Rabbanan stepped in, and in certain times, banned the woman because her husband had an affair with a relative. Rabbinically. Not biblically, but rabbinically. I'm sorry. I'll take that back. Rabbi Yehuda learned it biblically. He learned it out from a pasuk later on. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. But nechleku be'shamai be'sil b'bal chamaisai shepaisal ishtai. Beishama and Beisil both agree. The guy is Mazana with his mother-in-law. He no longer can stay married to his wife. And the Gemara is going to say what Rabbi Yehuda's source for that is. There is an argument that a guy lives with his sister-in-law. They don't dash in the word Isa. They say if a woman becomes closer to her husband, so should the woman become usher because of her sister? Or Beisil, I'm in light place. So Yehuda says, this drasha of Isa is a matter of machoikas. Beishamai doesn't agree to it. But by a mother-in-law, everybody agrees, based on the pasuk, that if a person is mezana with his mother-in-law, his wife becomes bad. Amar Rabbi Yaisi, not true. No. Everybody agrees to the drasha of Isa. The machlokes is only by chamaisai. Period. So now, there's a machlokes tanoim. What Beishame and Beisil would hold. According to Yehuda, everybody agrees if you're mezana with a mother-in-law, you become usher. We're going to learn it from the pasuk. The argument is by a wife's sister. Do you dash an Isa or you don't dash an Isa? And Rabbi Yossi says, everybody dashes Isa. The Machlokes is about a mother-in-law. Rashi, Dr. Rashi, the Baal Kham Isa, Shepaisa, Sishta, Allah, Kham Yol, Hom Mikra. Yushami, I'm in Paisa, Mikha, Bachayim, Kid Amran, but Isa, they dash and they don't dash an Isa. I'm a Rabbi Yossi, they dash an Isa, Shaloi, Paisa, they dash an Isa. So Bishama, I'm in Paisa, the Dashin and Isa, the Asin, come on, they'll dash an Isa later on, which we will see in Mashiach tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.